This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers in New Orleans, Louisiana, where the old Voice of Truth broadcast goes out week after week across many stations up and down the South, up and down the East Coast, up in Appalachia, all up in there in Minnesota and Pittsburgh and many, many gracious places the Lord has supplied us, given us audiences up there. And then the old Trailblazer, we're on about 40 stations every day, Monday through Friday. And I asked you, if you would, pray for me and then help us with the broadcast if you possibly can. I know many folks cannot do that thing, but there are other folks who can and who do. And we thank every one of you who have ever sent a nickel or a dollar here. And my pledge to you is that we spend every nickel of it to get out the gospel. We don't have any long buses to take the kids to the beach. We don't have any condos in Colorado. We don't have any of those things. We don't do car washes and sell t-shirts and all of those things. We just preach the gospel. And the Lord moves hearts to support the work. So I praise the Lord for it. And I'm glad to be back with you folks. We're looking at the study in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We had come down in our last study there to the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we're looking at the day of God's wrath. This is going to be a gracious 2 or 3 studies on the day of God's wrath. There in the beginning of the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, the day of the Lord we see is very near. It's the day of wrath. The trumpet gives out the alarm, and there's a 30-minute pause, and the Lord is ready to step forth now from the battlements of heaven and pour out His wrath upon the inhabitants of the earth. But He remembers His people. John says in that third verse, let's look at it, we read it last time, that during this silence another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. So we see that. Let's stop there for a moment and notice the angel which stands at the altar. We don't know who this angel is, but listen, we're not told. He takes his stand at the golden altar in the holy place. And not the brazen altar, no. His service must be performed in that 30-minute period that we saw there. And listen now, it is said there was given unto him much incense. Much incense. And listen, the world always complains when the child of God gives away all that he has and pours out his life in sacrificial living. But it says here that he had much incense. Now, it says also there was given unto the priest angel much incense, which he offered with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar before the throne. The prayers of all the saints. Isn't that a gracious statement? Through all the ages, the saints have prayed. I asked you, do you pray? Do you ask the Lord day by day for His mercy? I have attempted to train my people here, to lead them into prayer. And one of the things I have done over the last several months, I ask my folks, when you get up in the morning, sit on the side of your bed like I do, put your feet on the floor, stay there for a moment or two, and ask the Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't ask Him for anything. Just thank Him. Thank Him, Lord, for a good night's sleep. Thank Him for a good home, a good bed, a roof over your head, and then ask Him for leadership for the day. Would you do that? We live in a hurly-burly, fast-paced world where everything is so... But listen, would you just take time? I know, folks, many folks don't even thank the Lord when they sit down to a gracious meal. My wife and I eat out a lot, and I look around in the cafeteria, the restaurant where we eat sometimes, and I hardly ever see anybody bow their head, but we do. And the folks here at our church do the same thing. Whether it's 1 or 20, we stop and take a moment to thank the Lord. The Bible says, give thanks in all things. Listen, the prayers of the saints throughout the ages, the saints have prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All of these prayers of all of these saints have been bottled up through all the ages and kept in store for this very hour, according to Psalms 56. Verse 8, and to be offered up on the golden altar before God. Then in verse 4 it says, with the prayers of the saints, which no doubt refer to the tribulation saints, here on earth who are being persecuted and slain, and in the midst of their suffering, they cry out unto God for deliverance. Also, they say, Thy kingdom come. Come, Lord Jesus, come, take over and rule. Like old John the Baptist, John the Apostle John said there, Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We're going to get to that before long. He says, Come quickly. I believe every saint of God, you may not be completely aware of it, but down deep inside, there's a longing for the Lord to come. Are you like the old trailblazer, maybe just weary and tired and worn and want to go home? You say, No, I don't want to go home. I don't want to die. I want to live. Well, my friend, our nature is to cling to life. But in our spiritual side, deep down inside, we know what a far greater place heaven will be if we know the Lord. It will, my friend. So this angel takes over the censer with much incense and with all those prayers and offers it up on the golden altar. Now listen to what he says in this fourth verse. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? What a scene. God is hearing the prayers of these tribulation saints and the saints of all ages which are going up to Him. They are sweet incense. They have cried unto Him day and night. He is remembering them. They are sacred and sweet to Him, and He will speedily answer, according to Luke 18:8. After the smoke of the incense has ascended up before God, with all the host of heaven looking on, in the midst of that intense silence, that same angel, took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightning and an earthquake. Yes, the fire was cast unto the earth, and the result was voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. Fire is a token of destruction. In the 10th chapter of Ezekiel, fire was taken from between the cherubim underneath the throne and scattered as a token of judgment. Here is the wrath of Jehovah manifested, which is spoken of as a fire kindled in mine anger. Ezekiel 39:6 says, And I will send a fire on Magog as fire unkindled mine anger. And listen now, let me go back and read that again. And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now let's turn to Ezekiel 38:22. Jehovah says, And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Now listen, turn to Hosea 8:14. For Israel hath forgotten his maker, and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities. And in Deuteronomy 32:22, For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountain. Now, let's pause there a minute. Catch our breath. Let me call your attention to this scripture in Matthew 3:11. John the Baptist said to Israel one day, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In the second chapter of Acts, we see that the Lord God of heaven baptized Israel with the Holy Ghost. But now it is a time for the baptism of fire. And I've heard folks get down and pray, O Lord, baptize me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. They didn't know what they were talking about. The baptism of fire is the vengeance of the Almighty God upon an apostate Israel, a Christless church, and a godless world. It is the privilege of every born-again believer to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, but every Christ rejecter, Jew or Gentile, will be baptized with fire. So John said, the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. At the close of this 30 minutes of silence in heaven, Oh, listen now. At the close of that 30 minutes, there will be thundering and voices and lightning. The first angel steps forth and sounds his trumpet, which breaks the silence. And in the seventh verse, John says, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And a third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Now let me say here, by the way of parenthesis, before we proceed any further, each of those trumpets, as they sound, we will have no trouble understanding what is the trumpets as they sound. We'll have no trouble understanding what is written if we but believe what is written. The trouble with folks today, I find, about the book of Revelation is they will not believe plain English. They're always trying to make God saw, listen, to make God say what he did not say and mean what he did not mean. So I tell you, my friend, these things are coming up on the earth, day in and day out. They're coming up on this earth. And I hope you stay with us day in and day out. We have a minute or two. When this first angel sounds, or that blast of the trumpet comes forth, it says here in plain English, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. There will be a terrific electrical storm combined with hail mingled with blood. That's simple English, isn't it? That's just plain simple English, isn't it? Now, let the Bible say what it says, mean what it means. The instrument of destruction here are fire and hail. So we see those things coming up on this earth. And I tell you, my friend, I surely don't know how to explain God's Word. But these things are so simple. Let's just ask the Lord to lead us and guide us and direct us as we go on looking here at the day of God's wrath. There's a day coming. There's a great day coming. We sang a song here. They call it the fire song. Oh, it says there's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. And then it says, there's a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming. Oh, listen. It says, sinners shall be parted right and left. I asked you, have you ever meditated upon that great white throne judgment, the scene that you will find there, where folks will come to be judged, and they'll stand before the Lord, and the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Now listen, believer, you don't have to be afraid. You won't be there. If you know the Lord, if your sins are under the blood, if you've been washed in the blood, by faith, trust in the Lord, day by day. I don't care how weak you are. I don't care how trembling you are. If you know the Lord, if you can look up, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving an old sinner like me. I ask folks oftentimes here, when you wash your face in the morning, open your eyes wide open and say, do I know the Lord? Am I saved? I challenge you to do that. If you say yes, if the answer comes back, yes, that still small voice, I say, what is the evidence? What is the evidence of your salvation? Are you bearing any fruit? The Scripture says we shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, you can translate that, any man be saved. If any man be saved, if any man knows the Lord, if any man's been reborn, he's a new creature. Are you a new creature? The old trailblazer is just dogmatic as I can be at this time. I want to ask you, are you a new creature in Christ? I am. I'm not the same old creature. Oh, I'm not what I'd like to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm a new creature in Christ. My sins are all under the blood. My sins are all under the blood. That's right. All under the blood. All gone. They're all gone. Friend, they're all gone. I have folks all over this nation who call me and they say, Trailblazer, I want to just tell you how much I appreciate the broadcast. Why do they do that? Because they know I'm honest with them. I'm just an honest old man. The Lord made me honest. So I ask you, write me and let me know what station you're hearing me over. And this is the Old Trailblazer. Remember my mailing address? The Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.